Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Feels like it's been a very long time. Sarah, are you well?
I am indeed. And you, Simon?
Most well, thank you. Looking forward to our discussion this afternoon. If there's time, we might get to talk about coalition building as well. But we're going to start off with Eskom's missing bits. What are you referring to, Sarah?
I have three words: theft, negligence, and sabotage. It came to light in the portfolio committee meeting that Eskom attended, I think today or yesterday, that we start off with the theft that Tutuka Energy Station, power station, they have discovered a syndicate operating the system that is stealing spare parts valued at hundreds of millions of rands, as well as a dodgy fuel oil procurement deal. And what Eskom has decided to do is implement drones, dogs, specialist security services, cameras, recovery teams, forensic and criminal investigations to try and counter the syndicate operating. So we're losing to theft and no goodness. We're losing to the syndicate. Then, with regard to the negligence, there have been increasing claims of incidents of negligence. In one case, a light that indicated this machinery needed more oil was ignored, and it had the consequence of destroying the particular piece of machinery. We know of the explosion that occurred at Medupi a couple of months ago, that would take ages to repair, which was as a result again of negligence. And finally, there's a sense that there's sabotage taking place. And one example they give is incidents where water valves were opened, draining a boiler of demineralized water. And it takes apparently a significant amount of time for the boiler to be refilled. And the water, that type of water, is not just water you can get from a tap. You have to put it through a treatment plant. Now, obviously, I know they say, for example, with regard to the theft syndicate, that the newly appointed station manager has said that 20 Eskom employees have been suspended, 3 contractors have had their services terminated, while 8 criminal cases have been opened and 2 Eskom officials arrested. And Gordon comes up with this extraordinary plea, urging Parliament to join calls to encourage Eskom workers to be honest and to stop any nefarious activities they may be involved in. Well, that should scare the hell out of them. But that raises the concerns: why is it taking so long, or has taken so long, to put in place these measures, given what's been happening? Are people who are acting negligently being fired? I mean, there was one extraordinary situation where a team working on cooler fans at Matimba dropped an extension cord onto the transformer of the station's unit 2. A flash resulted, tripped the station board and shut down all the cooling units 1, 2, and 3. Now, obviously I don't know the ins and outs of the workings of these environments, but if there's negligence, have people been fired for negligence? They are charging people to put them before disciplinary hearings, but are they going to fire people? Because these are all fireable offences. And I mean, it suggests that there's anarchy, that, it's either malicious or it's negligent. And if it's negligent, why are the people still there? So if we wonder why load shedding has become so prolific, it's more than just old, tired power stations. There's also an intriguing piece of information, and that was Andre de Reiter said that they wanted to not use a certain procurement company because they were not delivering the goods, and it applied to the Treasury in July for permission to go beyond them and just go straight to other people that they can rely on. They haven't heard from Treasury. So, you may have been looking forward to this conversation, but it's really not a conversation anyone should be looking forward to. I think part of the problem also is that, it is a public enterprise, and we should know more of what is going on, because you cannot respond appropriately to load shedding if you don't know what's happening. And I think the fear of bringing out all the bad stuff has made management and the ministry go quiet instead of opening up.
And yet, if you think about it, Sara, why should it be any different from the ANC itself? I mean, here is a state-owned enterprise. It's going to reflect those who are in power. If those are in power are split between the Radical Economic Transformation Group and those who aren't, why wouldn't this be going on within Eskom?
Well, it really, I agree with you. I mean, it really is symptomatic of everything that has come before. But I mean, if we thought it was mostly a situation of having the parts to service old power stations with, it's not just that. I mean, there is absolutely no way that negligence that results in these sorts of failures can be tolerated.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake.
I don't know.
Hear that.
Yeah,
C is weighing in this afternoon, and in a minute I'd love you to address the comment. Durrete is uncovering all of this, and that's why they have the knives out for him. Your comment?
In this country, everything is possible. And that's a part of the problem as well. And I think Durrete finds himself in a situation, possibly, that the ministry may want to keep quiet on this. And he's alluded to some of these things before, but you know, alluded to as opposed to discuss them outright. And I suspect that there is an element involved about not making the government look bad or worse than it already is. And frankly, we are way, way, way beyond that.
We're going to leave it there, Saragon. As always, thank you. At least you called it out like you see it, which is interesting. We at least know what we're dealing with.
Exactly. Thanks, Simon.